Welcome to Walt Love Podcasting. This is our episode number 3. We're talking about transportation at the Walt Disney World Resort. With all the upcoming changes to the Walt Disney World Resort this year in 2019, including the opening of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, transportation is going to become an even bigger topic than before. My name is Brett Schmoofy on Twitter. I'm here along with
Josh from EasyWDW.com, a great site.
And Mike from BlogMuthy.com.
So, like I said, we're going to discuss a lot about transportation this episode and what it means in the future and what it means now and moving forward. So, we know that the Skyliner is opening up later this year. The Skyliner will connect Epcot International Gateway to the Disney Riviera Resort and then ongoing to the Caribbean Beach Station. There will be a leg from the middle of Pop Century and Art of Animation that will go to Caribbean Beach. And then, of course, Caribbean Beach to Disney's Hollywood Studios. All anticipation to get guests to studios for the opening of Galaxy's Edge later this year in late 2019. So we were fortunate enough this past 2 years to actually see the people who are developing the Skyliner system, Doppelmayr.
Yep.
At the International Attractions Expo, IAPA. So every November it happens at the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando. We were fortunate enough to talk to Doppelmayr the past 2 years about their system and what it means for the area and some of the cool features that are coming to the Disney Skyliner, because they're building it. They know what it's about. We know that it's going to be relatively quick. Yeah. So an average trip from Epcot to Hollywood Studios will take, was it estimated at less than 5 minutes?
Something like that. As far as travel time, you know, there's always the question of getting off at the station, getting back on, what the crowds are going to look like. I'm assuming that you're going to definitely have to get off of the Skyliner at the very least at Caribbean Beach to get in there. It's not really built like a turn station, whereas the Riviera Resort is kind of built as a turn station. And then they actually have a real turn station over in the parking lot of Boardwalk Resort. Yeah, I think that as far as the line itself and the cabins, they'll be moving quick. Whether or not you're going to have to deal with a crowd remains to be seen. I'm sure that there will be plenty of people trying to get on this as opposed to using the bus system.
So if I want to go from Epcot to Hollywood Studios, I have to get off the gondola and then get on another gondola, right?
Definitely at least 1 point, possibly 2 points, yes.
So they're going to have to unload those gondolas at least one time during that trip.
At least one time. So that's at the Caribbean Beach station, that's not built for a turn. So definitely there, the question remains to be seen is whether you're going to be able to do kind of like an express from Epcot straight to Caribbean Beach, or if you're going to have to get off at the Riviera line, because the Riviera line actually has access right now. It looks like they're building access for both sides. So what are the buildings there from Caribbean Beach? What's that complex there?
So the Aruba buildings are really close up there towards the Riviera station.
Yeah.
So Aruba will have close access to get right on towards Riviera. But yeah, if you're going from Epcot to Studios, you're going to need to get off and get on at least the Caribbean Beach station. So with everybody trying to get towards Studios or towards Epcot, you're not only going to need to wait in one line at Epcot. You're going to wait another one at Caribbean Beach.
Well, just imagine you're getting on and off the monorail at the Contemporary. Like, that's kind of how you would imagine it's going to be. You're going to be packed into that cabin, and it's going to be like being in a packed monorail. Right. And people on that monorail don't know what resort they're at. They don't know where they're going. They don't know if they have to get off. How are you going to communicate to all of these people on the gondola that they need to get off at a certain place when they have no idea what the Caribbean Beach Resort looks like? And then you have an ECV in the middle. You got mom and dad on the left. You're hanging out in the back. They don't know if they have to get off. You don't know if you have to get off.
And it's supposed to be a high efficiency, high moving system where you have, I don't know, maybe an estimated 30 seconds to a minute to make that transfer in and out of the gondola cabin itself. So I think there's definitely going to be some confusion.
And then are they going to have wheelchairs and ECVs on every single one of them? Because they're going to have to get a ramp.
So the way that we've seen them built out is kind of unique. They have two different loading areas. One will be for every regular guest, and then for the ECV guests or the wheelchair guests, there's going to be a secondary kind of loop where you can take the gondola off of the normal operating wires. That's a good idea. and it'll be set aside and ready to be loaded in with whatever amount of time you need, and then it'll be put back into the rotation once you're ready to go. So that's kind of a unique setup from what we've seen from other Skyliners, you know, gondola type systems. We saw that under construction at Hollywood Studios was probably the easiest spot to see that secondary loop.
That'll be really nice.
Yeah.
Take a lot of the pressure off of people as well, but they can only take certain cabins off, or can all of them? So I just wonder if ECVs are going to have to wait a long time because there's only going to be 8 cabins on the thing.
Right. So
I assume it's going to come down to what can we realistically hold on the line in case of emergency evacuation? Because they don't want everyone to be filled with an ECV or a wheelchair, because an evacuation is not going to happen without me on the line. The same way why they'll only send so many cars in Haunted Mansion or Expedition Everest with a wheelchair boarded. It's just for evacuation purposes. Is that, yes, we can do it with every vehicle, but realistically, if something were to happen, can we evacuate that?
And they can do it with every vehicle. We actually, when we were talking with Doppelmayr, they said every vehicle is built with kind of this, they call it a zero rise entry, where it's completely level with the loading platform and the gondola cabin itself. So all of the gondolas will be ECV compatible.
Yeah, that'll be good. I think the system is going to work better than any of us critiquing it before it opens does work. They have to have a pretty good idea about how this is going to work.
Well, they go with Doppelmayr, which is like the number one gondola, system manufacturer in the world.
Yeah, this is the gondola guys. Like, we spoke to them, I said, at IAPA this year, and they were talking and bragging almost about how much they have invested in the mountain biking business this past year.
Yeah, the past year we actually talked about them, and we'll make this quick, but they saw, you know, that basically an opportunity for when the mountains don't have snow on them to build out a gondola system or a chairlift system that allows people to take their bikes up to the top of the mountain and do some downhill biking. So they are leading the industry. They are the industry. They are, for as much as people have been talking about the Skyliner system, Disney is not, well, let me put it this way. With the exception of AC in the cabins, Disney is not really, Disney's not cutting any corners with this. You know, they've gone with a Doppelmayr's brand new D-line is what it's called. And those are the ones that they're trying to sell. That's the premium system. So I don't think that they're cutting corners, again, with the exception of possibly AC.
Well, I was looking into it. It's an air-conditioned system in London.
Okay.
With personal air conditioning units on each cabin. So theoretically, it could have been done, but it may not matter. I don't know how open air it's going to be. You're even in July, you don't ride the People Mover, and you're like, boy, I wish this thing was inside, and I wish it was air-conditioned.
And that's the thing, is they say that it's going to have this passive ventilation system, whereby they basically have a vent at the top of the gondola that's going to kind of take air in, and then it's going to expel it down through the bottom of the gondola. But we've also seen these concept art images and stuff where they have, you know, 3-panel windows that are wide open, allowing a lot of airflow. So you're
a lot of rain
and a lot of rain,
a lot of wind.
Yeah,
judging by viewing some of Doppelmayr systems on YouTube, these things are going to fly through the sky, so that's going to create its own airflow through the cabin itself. I think that they went away from the air conditioned units. I mean, look at the Orlando Eye, the big Ferris wheel on International Drive, opened a few years ago. And each of those cabins, it takes quite a long time for that entire rotation to happen. Each of the cabins are individually air-conditioned, and they had a huge issue, and still do, with hornets and wasps attracted to the condensation from the air-conditioning units on each of the cabins. So you'd be up in the air, 200-some feet in the air, and have a swarm of hornets right outside your window. And this was a huge issue for them, and it was still ongoing.
You're assuming there's somebody inside one of those cabins, which is a stretch. Yeah, it's a stretch in its own right, whether or not anybody's actually seen one of those wasps. But when they're building that new Universal Park and all the bloggers are in there, just imagine me trying to take pictures under a wasp attack.
It's going to happen. People are like, oh, why are there so many wasps? Oh, it's been happening for years.
I don't think that we're going to have a lot. I mean, obviously the main question is, eventually the line will stop moving. There will be something that would cause a stop at some point. What's the over-under on time that they're going to allow people to stay in a gondola cabin that has zero airflow? These are high-efficiency systems that have a huge amount of uptime, but there's going to be some downtime at some point. And how long will they let the guests be in a cabin with zero airflow in it?
Well, they're not going to go down for any storm or wind conditions. Like, we confirmed that when discussing with them.
Yeah.
It said that they will travel in sustained winds up to 45 miles an hour.
Yeah, I think it was 40 to 45.
And the
whole system is grounded, so you don't, as terrifying as it might be for people who don't like heights, the system itself will be very safe in a lot of conditions. I would venture to say that some mountains, you know, you get the wind shear coming off the face of the mountain, those are probably a little bit more treacherous conditions than Central Florida. Certainly.
Yeah, but that's like a very rugged, it's part of the experience of a rugged experience. You go on a rugged gondola ride. I'm not going from Hollywood Studios to Epcot because I want to go to Mount Everest.
Well, any trip to Hollywood Studios has got to be a rugged adventure, right?
That's fair.
Yeah, no, it's, and I think the vast majority of our, I don't anticipate this thing, if it's going to open fall 2019, I don't anticipate summer 2020 being a summer where we're out there covering it, the fact that it's closed every afternoon at 3 p.m., like some of the putt-putt courses and stuff like that do, obviously. I don't think we're going to be out there covering the Skyliner, closing at 3 p.m. and reopening at 6 once the storms move through. I think it's going to keep going.
I just imagine being in that gondola, packed monorail tight. You got two kids crying, and you still have two stops ahead of it that you have to get off. I don't know how many people are expecting to have to get off the gondola. You think I'm going from Hollywood Studios to Epcot in 5 minutes. Get on once, get off once, you're done.
Kind of like the friendships, right? Like those obviously stop at the resorts, but you don't have to get off of them if you're going from Epcot to Studios.
Right. Yeah. And to have...
Or even like you said, the monorails. You don't have to get off. Even if you're on the resort loop, you don't have to get off.
There's something to say for that capacity, but I wonder how often they're going to need it. Like if we went to the Caribbean Beach Resort, it's like 2 o'clock right now. There's going to be six people waiting to go to Epcot. There's going to be
in the bus.
Yeah, there's going to be six people wanting to go to Epcot right now. So are they going to be flying empty most of the day?
So they're adding another hotel, right? So you've got Riviera Resort going in there. So you've added the capacity of one hotel. I think between the added capacity of that hotel and the added interest and the influx of guests that we're going to be seeing this fall through winter through, you know, the next 5 years almost with Star Wars, I think that there's going to be a need. I think that, I mean, so is traveling the buses pleasant right now? As far as having to wait?
Six people on it, it's pleasant.
Yeah, but think about the waiting.
The wait is certainly unpleasant, although the bus times, I think, takes away a lot of that. Like, if you know the bus is going to come in 12 minutes, it's a lot easier to wait 12 minutes for a bus than if you're just waiting forever.
Unspecified amount of time. Yeah. It's better. Even if it says it's still like a half hour away, you still know a time frame.
I think that we're going to see, number one, your cheapest room at Riviera right now, since they've opened up booking for December, is what, like $500 a night, and you get a little studio smaller than the room that we're in right now. And so those guests aren't going to want to wait a half an hour for a bus. They're going to want to jump on a Skyliner. They're going to want to be in Galaxy's Edge by, you know, 10 a.m., 9 a.m.
Well, they better go on the night before.
Let's put it this way. They want to be in the park and in line for the potential of getting into Galaxy's Edge.
In the park. I think it'd be in the vicinity.
Yeah. So I think it's going
to
be a great
situation. It's only a good thing.
Yeah.
They're still going to run buses to the resorts, you think?
Yeah, we'll still do that. But I don't think that you're going to get on a bus from Caribbean Beach and go to Hollywood Studios. I think they're going to cut that line off. I think they're going to go straight for the Skyliner.
They wouldn't do that because of the bus unions.
Oh, okay.
The customer unions with the buses. So the Skyliner system being approved in the first place, they could possibly take bus drivers off their routes and impact their jobs. I don't know how Disney got it approved.
You think this has been fleshed out already?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's no way that Disney can say, we're going to invest money in this and cut jobs or labor here, because the union would have had an uprising.
But you'd have to think that Skyliner is going to eliminate some routes. Otherwise, you take away whatever positive environmental impact. If you're still running the same number of buses, and now you're running gondolas on top of it, we haven't done anything for the environment, if that's at all part of at least the marketing.
We got the straws going on. Don't worry about this, Josh. The buses can go as long as the buses can stay as long as the straws go, right?
The straws?
The straws. We're getting rid of straws.
And bags.
Hmm. I don't think environmental impact was a huge consideration, at least not in any of the press material that I've seen put out by Disney.
No, minivan was a big thing because a lot of the questions were, how about making this green? They're putting 50-plus new Chevy Traverse on the road that are all gas guzzlers. Why not use electric cars? Mm-hmm. I don't feel that any guest is going to be going, oh, I can't wait to travel from Epcot to Studios on this. Who in the right mind is going to travel from... who's going to take a bus to Epcot or monorail to Epcot and then walk through the park to go to International Gateway to then take the Skyway to Hollywood Studios?
Right, you're missing it.
Who's going to stay at Boardwalk or Yacht and Beach to then go take the Skyliner to Studios instead of taking the boat that's already available?
You're missing it. Are there any characters painted on the side of the boat?
All right, I'm leaving.
Checkmate. No, you're going to be able to ride in a gondola with Star-Lord and Gamora. You're going to be able to do...
Not every gondola is painted.
Not every gondola, and I'll gladly get on an unpainted one if that means that
I'm a character guy. I'm waiting.
I'll wait for the photos. You're definitely a character
guy. And nobody gets to go in front of me either because I was here first.
Correct. No, I think that this is going to be a very popular system. They've been ringing its bell for, what, a year and a half now at least? I think that this is going to be very popular. I could be 100% wrong, and I'll be the only person up there with a camera taking pictures of the top of Ratatouille. Like,
this is a blog exclusive. Yeah.
I think that it's going to be popular. I think it's going to be and I do think that they're I have to imagine that they're going to be getting rid of some of the bus routes.
They have to.
I would think that they do. I think that there are still going to be bus routes to, you know, places that the Skyliner won't take you. But I think that as far as getting on a bus to Hollywood Studios from Art of Animation or Pop or Caribbean Beach, I don't think that's going to be an option. Maybe not right away.
Yeah, but I think eventually they're going to. I think instead of hiring more bus drivers, we're going to just not hire more and cut lines.
Just phase them out.
Yeah.
So the Skyliner, if you've been on Walt Disney World property in the past year, you can't miss it, right? There are these huge gondola towers that are all the way up and down the parking lot at Hollywood Studios. You see it at Epcot. You see it everywhere. They've actually even got the line is going to go directly over the new France expansion back there with Ratatouille. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to get these views from the Skyliner that I don't think that, you know, at the very least Epcot in 1980 wasn't in late 1970s wasn't designed for. But is the presence of the Skyliner, is that too much of an eyesore for the benefit that it brings, or is it just too much of an eyesore in general?
I think it's fine at Studios. It looks good going down the middle of Studios parking lot. It looks fine at Epcot going down Buena Vista Drive. Who cares? Okay. The only really impact that it has is over the buildings at Caribbean Beach. It goes literally over two sections of the resort. It flies over the Aruba and Jamaica sections. Yeah. Like, there's gigantic poles right outside these guest rooms. Yeah. So people are paying over $200, $300 a night to have this gigantic pole outside their room.
And they'll be happy. Because it's not a $500 closet at the Riviera.
That's right. Absolutely. Not a pull-down bed.
I'm sure that we'll see price increases at some of these resorts when Skyliner comes online as well.
Yeah.
But anyways, back to the visual aspect of it.
Yeah, you're paying this much for a room. You're having a good family vacation. And all of a sudden, you have eight people every 34 seconds above your room. It doesn't seem right to me. It's weird.
So it's bad in Caribbean Beach. It's also bad in Boardwalk, where it's kind of cutting right through the parking lot. Like when you drive up to the gatehouse and Boardwalk, it's right there. They've got a turn station in the parking lot. But I think you're right. I think that Caribbean Beach is the worst as far as the impact on the tranquility of your stay.
Well, you have Caribbean Beach and then Boardwalk, because it lines basically back up with Boardwalk. So from ESPN Club to basically Flying Fish, there's an entire back part of Boardwalk that's just a loading dock of cast members on smoke breaks or housekeepers just chilling outside or anybody. It's a cast member relaxation area. It's loading docks. This is stuff you don't want to see or smell. I mean, it's dumpsters. It's stuff that you just don't.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to see. And with these open air windows, you're going to be really close to it. Disney's going to need to do something to either like disguise this area or get rid of it or relocate.
Well, think about not even Boardwalk. You're leaving the International Gateway station. You go immediately over the Friendships, over that nice little bit of water. That's fine. And then you're going past the Ratatouille site, France expansion. Mm-hmm. And okay, so you'll see that. There's no way around that you're going to see that. I don't think it'll be open. It won't even be close to being finished by the time Skyliner comes online this fall.
No, nowhere near.
No. So you're going to see the construction there. You're going to see the entire back loop of the World Showcase back there.
Yeah, you're going to see all those cast members on break at Epcot. Then you're going to see a retention pond, the second aqueduct that's back to the water bridge that you're not supposed to see. Because yeah. there's two in that section, one backstage at Epcot and one that's out there for all the guests to use in Epcot Resort Boulevard. So you're crossing two busy roads, two backstage areas, and then a boardwalk parking lot.
So
sounds like a great trip.
You're talking about backstage areas. It takes my mind back to the express transportation bus idea that was popular. What was that, two summers ago? Mm-hmm. I loved it. I took it like three or four times. I absolutely loved it. It would basically take you from a backstage area in Magic Kingdom, Epcot Studios, wherever, and it would drop you off. Basically, it'd be a park-to-park experience where we saw the drop-off at Epcot was right there behind, was that Camera Center back there? Mm-hmm. And you saw all these cast members on break, smoking, eating, whatever, which is fine. I mean, they, you know, need a break and stuff like that, but it brings in, if you have... But it brings into the question of what is an onstage and what is a backstage area, right? So if the express transportation was very, they were, well, I wouldn't say very, they attempted to be quite rigid with what they told, you know, you said, oh, you're in a backstage area, you can't take pictures of Pandora, right? So they had the backstage loading area back there behind Festival of the Lion King. They'd walk you right past, well, not right past, but visible enough for the Pandora construction site. And they said, no photos, please, whatever. But if you're on the Skyliner system and you're flying over the Ratatouille construction, I'll be taking pictures. It's not a there's no backstage area anymore, right? For that section of Epcot. So you're thinking maybe as far as the eye can see, maybe you can see American Adventure from there. I don't know based on how it curves around, you know, but that's not gonna there's gonna be no backstage areas anymore with regards to that first, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50 seconds of the Skyliner route out of International Gateway.
I don't think most people have any problem seeing the backs of buildings. And on the monorail, when it goes by the Polynesian, you see people on break and you see, you know, the pulling in the laundry and the trash. Sure. And that's never been a big issue. I mean, if it's what you want to focus on, sure. Yeah. I don't think most people have a problem and probably think it's kind of cool to see some of the backs.
Oh, I thought it was cool. I liked express transportation. That was one of the reasons.
Stuff like that. And if it becomes an issue, they can pretty easily build awnings and covers and stuff, which probably everybody would prefer on the ground anyway,
yeah.
to have a roof over their heads when they're on break if they need to.
Working in Central Florida, too.
Or make alternate areas available. So I'm not sure that would be as big of an issue. So much is like staying at the Caribbean beach and you're at the pool. And the Skyliner goes right over it.
It is, isn't it?
It goes right over the pool. And I'm either down there sunbathing or up there with my big camera, probably equally terrified of what's happening.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So, yeah, so I think that the concern is probably far greater for the pool area right there.
Yeah, you just come out of your room and you make eye contact with me and my Zoom lens. You're going back in your
room. Well, I've been in that situation a couple of times, and it's not pleasant.
You're calling the reservation center, and you're saying, is there any room at the All-Star Sport? I'll do anything to get out of here.
You know, that's a good point, though, because, I mean, Pop Century has over 2,000 rooms at this point. It's all considered value. Now that they're adding in this added form of luxury, for lack of better wording, prices are going to increase. You're right, Mike.
Yeah,
absolutely. So people are going to go want to stay at All-Star because, I mean... Example, if you're coming to Disney for the parks, you see a place to put your head down. You don't need a $400 a night room. You need as cheap as you can be.
I don't know if I would say want to stay at All Stars. I think you could say willing to stay at All Stars.
So I definitely see a price increase coming for those resorts.
But even then, they're refurbishing the All-Stars, which you'd think is also going to increase prices. So.
Yeah,
the refurb looks good so far. Same thing it did to Pop Century with the pull-down bed and all that.
We need some Airbnb referral codes. All-Star Vacation Homes. Do you want to stay 25 miles away from Disney World?
Have we got the place for you. Okay, so we've talked about Skyliner. Is there anything else that we've missed that we kind of want to talk about?
No, I just think...
Maybe an overwater evacuation there at the Hourglass Lake Pop Century. That'll be fun. Happen eventually. They're building a dock for it. It'll be good.
Yeah, that'd be great. When it happens, this is going to happen.
What have we missed?
I don't know. I just think that once Galaxy's Edge opens, the game is to change. And if the Disney buses weren't doing it for you before... The Skyliner might be helping you out.
I think Skyliner is going to be way less of a headache for people than the buses. What is it? Early February 2019, you can put me on the books saying that the Skyliner won't be as much of a headache. I'm sure I'll be eating my words late fall 2019.
Well, if they don't reduce the number of buses or people do prefer to take the Skyliner and you are a bus person, it's only good news if there's going to be that many fewer people on the buses. Like, you might want to do the gondolas, but when you have to get off two times and get back in another line and deal with whatever else is going on to just get on a bus and sit down in air conditioning and know you're going to be there at the main entrance in 15 minutes with only eight other people on it, I'm taking that.
So if you're staying at Boardwalk or Yacht and Beach, you're getting on the bus instead of making your walk over to International Gateway to get a beautiful backstage view of cast members on their break.
Well, there's already not a bus to Studios.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to be forced to either
get on the bus.
Nothing changes for those. If you just walk.
Not jumping on the Skyliner. You're just going to take the walk. It's a nice walk.
But at this point, I mean, half these guests already are aware. So Disney last year rolled out the minivan service with Lyft.
Mm-hmm.
You boot up the Lyft app. You go to select the minivan service. You're getting a brand new Chevy Traverse or Suburban 2017, 2018, 2019 models. That's decked out in red with white polka dots. It looks like Minnie Mouse in car form. You're getting a cast member that is trained to install car seats that comes with two car seats, and you're paying anywhere from $20 to $40 for a trip anywhere on property.
Mm-hmm. That's a flat rate, right?
It's not a flat rate. It used to be. Okay. So minivan rolled out, and when it first rolled out, it was $20 flat rate anywhere on property. But then they rates at 25, and now it's a based upon time and mileage.
Okay.
So it's a ridiculous expensive option.
So it's like a Lyft or like an Uber, the price and structure, just maybe like a 5x or a 10x the price.
Exactly.
Okay.
So those savvy vacationers, I don't want to say this in the wrong way, but you have a lot of these families who don't have access to Uber or Lyft on a typical basis, so they're not very trusting of new people in new areas. I mean, for example, I'm not going to go get an Uber or Lyft in New York City. That's just not going to happen. But coming down here and knowing that it's a Disney company vehicle, a Disney cast member, it might be worth the money. And see, people are already savvy enough and they're knowing that this is already a better option for them instead of already using the buses or Skyliner.
Well, and there's some really smart uses of it too. If you've got an early morning breakfast reservation, you don't want to have to wait around for the bus. They can pick you up right outside your room if you have like one of the, what is it called? The college campus style resorts, like where your building is maybe away from.
Yeah.
They can come pick you up right there and take you.
They can come pick you up.
Or drop you off
wherever you need to.
Yeah.
They can take you to the front of Magic Kingdom, which is also huge.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's worth the money at this point. Unless you have kids and you need the car seats, they're car seats, they're clean, they know how to install them, you're set with that. But if you don't have kids, the Lyft and Uber. I don't mind paying if I'm staying at Boardwalk. I'm not walking. I'm not going to take the Friendship. I'm not going to walk over to then take the Skyliner. I'm still going to pay the $6, $7 Uber ride to the front of Studios. That's worth my time and effort.
When the minivan first came out, we did a little bit of the math on the $20 flat rate and the two car seats. So if you actually have the two car seats, it came to be almost equal with Lyft, because Lyft, you have to pay the upcharge for the car seats and that sort of thing. So it kind of made sense then. I guess at this price, it doesn't for any trip of any length. And now that not only that, but they're taking you out to the airport now and out to the cruise lines, right?
Yeah, an airport run is $150.
Yeah.
And how much is a cruise line run?
I don't know. What is it?
Too much, more than I have.
$250 maybe?
Although I was at Orlando International a couple of months ago and there was a minivan driver there. And he was holding up a sign with the person's name, just like a limo pickup service. So I'm not sure if that's normal.
Yeah, so they stage the vehicles in the commercial vehicles section, the parking garage below the airport terminal. So they park behind the baggage claim, and they come in where all the other nearest taxi drivers, and they have the sign to hold up for greeting people. So it almost is like it's a luxury service. Especially with the price point at this point, it's a luxury service. It's cool. So, I don't know if it's worth the money.
Well, it's not worth the money, but if you want that level of service, if you're at the airport and you don't know Orlando International, it can be a hassle just to get from the A side to the B side, because you can't do that on the second or third floor. You have to go up to the first floor and then go down to the second floor. And then you have to go out to the Uber, and the Uber is staged 9 to 11 minutes away. And you have to stand on one side or the other side of the baggage claim and wait for this person in a vehicle that you don't know, who could be almost anybody driving almost anything, who may not be that familiar with the area. And if the minivan driver is going to stand there with your name, help you find your bags, help you get your bags to the vehicle, and very happily drive you to wherever you need to go, maybe it is worth $75 over the Magical Express. You know, it's, sort of like, it's sort of like the dessert party. You know, you pay the money for the easiest experience. Is the easiest experience worth the money? No. But once you're on that vehicle, once you see Dan with that sign, you're going to forget. And you're going to love it. And you're going to recommend it. You might not do it again, but certainly that first ride is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I was on a minivan. It was a terrific experience. We just went like 12 minutes to Disney Springs, but the Uber Lyft will drop you off and be confused about it. Mm-hmm. That minivan driver will drop you off wherever you need to go, whatever restaurant you're going to. He will get you, she will get you the closest possible spot. They'll tell you where to go with a smile on their face. And that is worth the money to a lot of people.
Especially on Disney property, where you get some Uber drivers or Lyft drivers who know Disney property. But then you have some where it's especially around Disney Springs right now with all the construction and stuff going on there. You have to be able to know how to navigate that sort of thing.
The nice thing about Uber Lyft now is now that they have to carry higher insurance, that you get a lot of drivers now that do know what they're doing, because the barrier to entry is a lot higher because they have to have that special insurance.
Yeah.
And also, if you are using Uber, sometime shortly, you're going to be able to get a Mears taxi with the Uber app. So if you are adverse for whatever reason to Uber and you want to see Mears on the side of the vehicle, you're going to be able to do that via the app, which will make things easier too.
More comfortable, more familiar seeing a taxi pull up as opposed to just a
regular. I wouldn't recommend it.
Dude, I know, no. Mears is probably not on the high end.
If you're over 40, you know, my mom and dad are not getting in an Uber car.
They prefer
they'll to get see in a limousine, yeah, and they'll get in a Mears car. That's yeah, about it.
Yeah, no, you're right. If you're out to here to pinch pennies, though, the best bang for your buck is just a basic Uber or Lyft. But yeah, if you're going to pay for the added service, I mean, if you have the money, screw it. You're on vacation, right?
Yeah, there are worse ways. And like I said, there are ways where it'll just make a very cranky early morning maybe a little bit better. If you're going for early breakfast or something, you see a mini polka dot van pull up, or SUV rather.
I can't see myself spending the money to stay at Beach Club to then walk to the International Gateway, probably go through a security check before the Skyliner,
yeah,
to get on the Skyliner, to go to Caribbean Beach, to probably go through another security check, to go through another security check at Hollywood Studios.
Well,
how is this going
to
work?
Well, you can just walk to Hollywood Studios from those resorts. Nothing changes. If you're at the Beach Club, the Yacht Club, the Boardwalk, the Swan and Dolphin, nothing has changed. You can still walk to Epcot. You can, or take the boat to Epcot. You can still walk to Studios. Take the boat to Studios. Nothing changes.
I think the only
you'd have to be a moron to go to Epcot, to get on the Skyliner, to go to Hollywood Studios.
So that was one point that we hadn't touched on with, and I don't know how much we want to go into it, but is the security bubble for the Skyliner. I can see it being inside the
They're going to want to scan you before you get on the Skyliner.
Sure.
But the question is that once you're in the Skyliner bubble, do you remain on it for the disembarkation? Is that a word?
It is now.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I like
at
it.
Caribbean Beach. Are you going to be in the bubble at Caribbean Beach? Are you going to be in the bubble at Hollywood Studios? Is it worth taking the Skyliner, taking a trip out to from Boardwalk, taking an Uber or Lyft to Caribbean Beach to then board the Skyliner there to be out of the security line at Hollywood Studios that the buses are all going to be in?
That sounds like a blog post waiting to be written.
Well, you'd be in the bubble for sure at the resorts unless you leave the station.
And I think for sure at Epcot.
And with the way the studios is building that huge new security further away from the entrance, I bet that area now will also.
So as far as like the proximity, I think studios would be the furthest away from any entrance, right? So for obviously at the resorts, you're getting on the resort. Epcot, you're right there, mere steps away from the International Gateway entrance. Studios is still a bit of a walk to the current entrance.
Doesn't it drop you off right where that Mickey floral thing is?
It's just close. It's near there. Do you think that they're really? I can see them easily extending the security bubble at Epcot to include,
or moving it. They've been talking about it for a while, moving it so you need to go through security to be on the boats.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, is that there's the International Gateway walkway that'll take you over towards the resorts. I can see them moving the security bubble over to that walkway, thus putting the Friendships and the Skyliner into the bubble, or even like how they do it at Magic Kingdom, where you have the boats that are coming from the resorts dropping you off right there, and they do a security check right there when you leave the boats. I could see that nice. Also happening for the Friendships as well. But I think that whole Skyliner area and International Gateway will be within a security bubble. Yeah. I think that you're going to get a check at the resorts like you do with the monorail now. Mm-hmm. And I hope that they extend the security bubble all the way out to, I say all the way out to, it's not really that much further, but I hope that they extend it all the way out to the Skyliner. But then you have the question of, are the buses going to be in a security bubble too? They can't do that.
No, they'll have to be a separate area for the buses.
Yeah.
Not unlike maybe that they do the transportation and ticket center now, where there's the check there for mm-hmm. if you park at the TTC. Not that we know anything about that. I can see the wheels going in your head. Like, what is it like to park at the TTC? Is there security there?
I haven't been to Magic Kingdom in 4 years, so that's what we're discussing, right?
Yeah, my family's looking forward to visiting sometime next year as well.
Yeah. Basically, what we don't want is that there's a security bubble at Epcot. There's one at all the resorts. And then Hollywood Studios is outside the bubble all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Creating an Epcot monorail situation where you have to get off and recheck. That'd be a nightmare, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, I am the definition of a uppity prima donna.
Okay.
So sometimes I would want to get on the monorail at the Contemporary and want to get off at the Polynesian mm-hmm. just to see if fountain beverage prices have changed at Captain Cook's. But knowing that I'm going to have to stand there and go through security again
yeah.
on the way out is a bigger deterrent than maybe you would expect with the bag and the backpack and
sure.
all of my reusable totes and everything I bought for eBay. Like, there's a lot to go through.
There's a lot to consider there.
So hopefully once you're on, you're in.
I think so. I think the only question mark is, do they extend studios all the way out there?
And if not, I'm going to freak out every time I go there. Like, I've never been there before.
I anticipate
before.
That, yeah.
What do you mean I have to go through security again?
So I think that they're going to put them in the security bubble. I think that they can also, while they're considering their logistics of security, they could probably help Epcot out a little bit more too and figure out how to get the monorail in the security bubble as well.
It just seems to be more streamlined. Yeah. I have no problem going through and getting my bags checked or going through a metal detector. Universal does it right. They have X-ray scanners. Everybody goes through a metal detector. It's mm-hmm. not this random selection. Everybody goes through. Mm-hmm. And as much as that annoys me to begin with, after a while, it's like, awesome, everybody goes through. I don't need to worry about being randomly selected. Because what's the worst part of my day is that I'm randomly selected once, twice, three times now because I have a backpack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's the reason.
I wish that it would be. I mean, currently Disney announced that they are redeveloping all of the security at all the parks. They're going to redevelop it. They're going to make it bigger and better, and hopefully they'll realize these. They're not flaws, but there's choke points, and they can solve them easily.
So when they did debut, and I don't want to drag on too much, but when they did debut on the monorail, the security checkpoints at the resorts, I felt like that was great.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
I hope they take that lesson and do the same thing with the Skyliner at the resorts. Do the check there, get that out of the way, and then let people focus on their park day.
That would be the ideal condition.
So we've touched on Skyliner. What else on Skyliner? What are we missing?
I don't think other than if we think it'll cost money, which we don't think it will.
We can talk about that.
We could talk about whether everybody's going to have access or somebody will have preferred access.
Yeah.
Whether it be like a fast pass for resort guests. Can you scan your band and get on first?
Yeah.
And if not, if you're staying there and you're paying the money,
mm-hmm.
do you want to be behind me? The guy who's spending no money and hasn't spent any money at Walt Disney World in years and may never again,
yes.
you know, is that fair to the people who are staying specifically for that perk? How many people are going to ride it? because they want the views of the Caribbean Beach Resort pool, you know, where I'm chilling writing my blog posts. Do I need to have my shirt off? No. Is it off? Yes.
So from my perspective, as somebody, again, like you, who does not spend money on hotel rooms at Walt Disney World, I would be disappointed. Or the average guest. So does the average guest coming to Walt Disney World, do they stay on property or off property?
Off property.
Off property. Would you want to be told that you can't ride the Disney Skyline or something that Disney's been touting for a year and a half now because you don't stay on property?
No, you wouldn't want to be told that, but you'd expect it.
Would you?
I mean, so look at this. When Disney World first opened up in 1971, the monorail wasn't free. It wasn't. You had to pay a certain price for the monorail. I believe you also had to pay for a ferry. So you had to pay to park, you had to pay for transportation to the park, and then you had to pay park admission.
And then, it was better.
It was better. Oh my God.
They have
Horizons. It was all great.
and they're saying that Disney's getting frugal nowadays.
Yeah.
We've dropped all those prices.
They're not nickel and diming us now.
Although if we had to pay per ride, we still wouldn't have to pay any money. We would save.
You don't ride anything. You don't ride the rides to review them.
Unless it reopens that one day.
So you have all these guests that are paying to stay at these resorts. A majority of the guests who are coming to Walt Disney World are staying off property, and they don't mind paying the price to park at one of the parking lots. They have their own rental car. They're here on vacation. They're not just doing Disney. A lot of the people who you see who come who just do Disney will stay at Disney, but a majority of the clientele who's coming to Disney for 1 or 2 days is not staying here. They're staying off property. They're doing 1 or 2 days at Disney, and they're doing 1 or 2 days at Universal. That's the reality of the situation.
So when they inevitably raise prices at the resorts that have access to the Skyliner, are they going to charge people again to get onto it? Or is that price raise just going to basically subsidize whatever imaginary cost they think is associated with operating the system?
Well, I don't see any mechanism to charge people. But also, I would guess that it's less expensive for Disney for a guest to get on the gondola than it is to get on a bus.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So that Disney would prefer these people to ride the gondolas. And other than the early morning, I don't know how much of a backup there's going to be if they can really move 2,000 people an hour through this thing.
It'd be more than that, even.
How many people do you see waiting for the boat from Hollywood Studios to Epcot at any given time? Like maybe 150 people waiting.
It's the peak times.
And that's with a bus, I mean, a boat that comes every 8, 10, 12 minutes.
As opposed to a Skyliner cabin that's going to hold, what, I think they were told 8 to 10 people. Eight.
So those 150 people can be on their way in all of 2.5 minutes or something, if that.
Yeah.
You're going to see a line for this, and the line's going to be constantly moving, and it's going to be gone in a few minutes. Whereas you see people are going to keep joining up for lines at the boats, like you said, and it's not going to move forever until a boat comes.
So it's basically an omnimover, like a Haunted Mansion versus the Liberty Square Riverboat, where you have to wait the half an hour or whatever it is for it to come around. You get this huge crowd that will be moved, but eventually.
So I don't see any charge, but it would be nice for the guest if there was like a guest express
hotel line. Guests, yeah.
Like if you're staying at Caribbean Beach, you should be able to bypass the line of people that aren't staying at the resort. In my opinion, and so, I say that as a person who's going to have to wait longer if that system were put into place.
I'd agree with that. It's like the express monorail versus the resort's monorail, even though the express is actually quicker. It'd be like the reverse of it. But a special area for the hotel guests to load, I think, would be justified, and I think that it'd be expected almost.
But they don't do it at the monorail.
No, you can get on. Yeah, you can get on.
Which really sucks that you're staying at the Contemporary to have to wait at the resort monorail, especially like around the Mickey's Halloween party start time and stuff.
Oh, that's bad, isn't it?
You can wait a long time with a lot of people that are not staying at that resort.
Mm.
And that is frustrating.
So the consensus is no cost, but perhaps maybe fingers crossed that there will be some sort of resort guest preferential treatment there.
It would be nice, but I doubt they'll do it just based on the monorail system.
Need to? Maybe they give resort. What if they give resort guests a half an hour or 45 minutes in the morning to flush out the entire line of guests? Right. If you're dispatching every 30 seconds or 45 seconds, If you just say, hey, guests staying at the resort can use the monorail from 8:30 to 9:30 exclusively.
How are you going
to
tell someone else no? I have a reservation at Cape May Cafe, 7 a.m., first thing with my children. We're going to eat. We're going to meet the Mickey. We're going to meet the Minnie.
Yeah.
We're going to see the ducks.
Yeah, you are.
We're going to be on that Skyliner by 8 a.m. You're not telling me that I booked reservations and just spent $400 and I can't use it.
So there will be no restrictions. All the costs for the imaginary cost.
How is that cast member who's earning, I've been told I'm going to make $15 by 2021. How are they going to be telling somebody, no, you can't ride the Skyliner that they just spent millions of dollars on?
No, you can't do that.
You can't.
You can't do that.
I would.
Well, yeah. You're the ideal cast member.
We need a fake mailing address.
Blanket. Yeah. No, we do. Yeah. Should do that.
But it'd really be Brett's house.
We should do that. We should actually open up a P.O. box.
Yeah. What's the cost of that?
I don't know.
Assuming that anybody's ever going to listen to this.
No, if somebody wants to mail us something, I'll give them the address. Who cares? No. So, I mean, in conclusion, there's a lot going on with the Skyliner. There's a lot riding on this. Especially with Galaxy's Edge and everything else opening up at Hollywood Studios. And then in the next few years at Epcot, you have Ratatouille. You have Guardians of the Galaxy. We have Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which is later this year at Studios as well. We keep forgetting about
Studios
that.
Studios is going to be busy this second half of the year.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
Oh.
Is it not pretty busy? So there's just so much going on. The Skyliner, it's either going to be a huge win or it's going to fall flat on its face.
Huge win.
Will it work?
Will it blend?
That's the question.
It'll work. Yeah, I think it'll be working phenomenally because Disney didn't build it.
As long as
Doppelmayr built it, they're the best. They know what they're doing. It's going to be high efficiency. I watched those guys. I don't know. Being the blogger, the great blogger that I am, I waited 35 minutes for them to get to a position where I could take a good picture when they were running some of the cables, the new cables. Those guys know what they're doing. They're doing a good job. I think it's going to be awesome.
With the exception of the poor people at Caribbean Beach opening their door. And maybe it doesn't fit the theme of the resort, but maybe it will still be neat just to see that in action. Maybe it'll only be neat for a minute and not when you're trying to get to sleep at 1:30 in the morning
to
hear
quiet.
The creakiness of the...
No, I think it'll be quiet.
It might just have like a silent...
A bit of a hum to it. I don't think it's going to impact the guest room there.
Well, I'm going
to
be screaming the whole time I'm on that thing.
You too?
Nobody told me this was going to be high off the ground. Put me down. Put me down.
It's happening.
I'll just get out my zoom lens and I'll zoom on the ground to try to convince myself that I'm land-based. I've thought this through too. Not my first rodeo.
It's your first Skyliner.
It's not my first gondola.
Anyway, that about wraps up for us going back and forth about transportation options right now with Disney in regards to Galaxy's Edge opening up later this year, 2019, at Walt Disney World. Specifically the Skyliner, positives, negatives. We think it's going to be good. Holding our breath, but we'll find out for sure. Signing off for the night, it's Brett Schmoofy on Twitter.
Josh, EZWW.com.
And Mike from BlogMickey.com.
Thanks for listening. Have a great night.